عند مغيش a wonderful program in very interesting and with that smach no in the parshas Yisro in Mishpotim discusses Kabbalah Satere and you find in the parshas one in Yisro and two in Mishpotim of three Kabbalah Satere, three different ones. And it actually was said at different times. When the first one was said, Be'yom HaShlishi, when the Rabbein Shlom said to him, I want you to be a Mamlachas Kahan B'gir Kaddish, it says, Kal Yisrael answered, Yachtov, together, Kal Shadiba Hashem Nase. That's a valid Kabbalah Sater. But you realize, you have 600,000 people all saying that we're going to do what the Rabbein Shlom of Mitzavah, we're going to probably have 600,000 tailors. Because we're all going to hear the same thing, and each one's going to interpret it a different way. But it's still a valid Kabbalah Satere because we all wanted it together, so we're all seeking for Emes. It's also good. On the fourth day, we're not going into the Tam, but Pashtus the Tam, why they, L'chayru, went down in Madrege, which is Mishpatim, it says, Kol ha-dvorim ha-shadiba Hashem nase. Not Kol ha-shadiba Hashem. The difference in Kol ha-dvorim and Kol ha-shadiba means, I subjugate myself to the Mitzvah, to the Deva. When I say Kol ha-dvorim, I'm interested in finding out what it says before I make my commitment. It happens to be they learned the whole Torah, they heard it, and they said, okay, Nasa, we'll do it. And there it says, Loshin Kol Echot. Again, same type of thing. But that wasn't even accepted. Rashi didn't even accept that. The main reason he didn't accept it, it's not a Kabbalah Satera. It's a Kabbalah of each person's own understanding. You'll hear people, usually Freier people, even therefore among the Fumen people. If I understand that I do it, I don't understand that I don't do it. Or if they're more Fum, I do it, but if I say how I do it. But what I understand, so whose Torah you do? You're doing your own Torah. You're going to do what you understand. What made the reason, okay, I say we're interested in the Rebbein Shlom's Torah, not my Torah. But there's a reason to it also. The Rebbein doesn't just want you to understand that, just like I said, it's not good enough. There's many hidden inyanim in the Torah. Even how Yisroi came to the Hakkorah, that there's, So Yisrael says, when he told him about that the Rebbein Shlom drowned the Mitzrayim, the Yisyam Suf said, Ati Adati, now I know. You knew before. I mean, you know, Yisrael came here because he threw away all the Abed Zohar. He's coming ready to serve at Kodesh Baruch Hu, either before Abed Matan, after Matan. Don't make a difference, but he's coming to subjugate himself to Hashem. So it's not Ati Adati, now I know. I knew before. So I'm actually taking the months. I knew before. But now I know him better. What does that mean to say? It's something that we ourselves happen to us every day. Ati Adati, now I know, God is greater than all the other gods. There are no other gods. Right? So that's a statement. Now it happens when Targum translates it the way Naaman said it. What he saw, when he got the tzaras went away, he says, Ati Adati, ki ain't a lakim, kim be Yisrael. Now I know there's no other god except by the Jews. Okay. That we understand. But God Hashem, that's what he's trying to say with you. He says, until now I never understood the word justice. And I tested it out. I hear sometimes a person, I says, what's your concept of justice? And the guy says, just whatever the rules of the country are, whatever the rules of the city, whatever it is, that's justice. Then you have a judge judging according to those rules, and that's justice. I said, if that's the case, then the anarchists are right. They say, why should I listen to your rules? I mean, if I was in charge, I'd make my rules. So I don't listen to anybody. Right? I mean, what makes your rule right? Just because you're in charge? He says, now I understand what justice is. The inyan of mida keneged mida, that's justice. Meaning, if you are willing to do something to somebody else, you have to be ready to have it done to you. And that's the type of any mice that a person does. Hillel went and put it to the concept of midas by saying, what you hate, don't do to your friend. A child wants a kibble in this league. Talk about mitzvah, who's already at 14. He says he's, nobody likes him. He knows he's a wise guy. And how can he get people to start liking him? And I told him this. I said, all you have to do is don't do to anybody else what you don't want to have to do to you. Because by definition, if you're willing to do it to somebody else, then you have to be ready to have it be done to you. So if you don't like it, don't do it to anybody else. And you'll find, all of a sudden, people are like you. And Kachavi, I met him about a year later, and he said, you know, it worked. And he said, it's an interesting thing. That's the type of justice. Now I know justice. So he saw this by listening to the Torah, listening to Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what a person has to realize when he learns the Torah, when he tries to understand the Torah. Through that, it'll become an emissary mind. So I'll give you a... Here's the kasha, why is Eved Ivri, which means Eved Geneve, next to Matan Torah? Because even though it's not exactly next to Matan Torah, but you have the Mizbeach, and the son of Barzel, and you have the Mailas al Mizbechi, the Indian of Gadlus, growth. That's what you talk after Matan Torah, after the Nesos HaDibros. You don't go talk about mundane Averis or stealing. Right? So how come we define the first mitzvah we talk about, Mishpatim, Ela Mishpatim, is talking about Eved Ivri, which is only because of someone stole. So he said, you have to understand what the problem is when someone steals. It happens among Yeshiva Echad HaMaisa like that. Someone steals a kid. So there's several things to weigh. One is the morale of the yeshiva. In other words, a certain ganovim that upset the morale that people feel violated. In other words, they don't feel secure anymore. It's a very bad feeling to have in the yeshiva. Bachim have this in my home. I don't have to worry about anything that I leave. That's the way a person is supposed to feel. So assume that that is not violated. For instance, that this guy comes from a poor home, everybody else has a soda, he doesn't have a soda. You know, has he ate soda to buy 50 cents, to buy a dollar, whatever it is. Now, no one's going to go broke, not going to bother anybody, especially if they know about him. How would you solve the problem? So normally, you say, well, you know, if we're not bothering anybody, we have to stop, but we know the reasons, we'll give him $10 a week from the tat. Right? And Baruch Hashem, you know, he won't have to steal anymore. We didn't solve the problem. All we did was treat the symptom. What is the problem? The problem is he's a kaifa. Why is he a kaifa? Because he says, I can take what God doesn't want to give me. We all know and believe that the Rebbeinu Shlomo Tzitzir and Rosh Hashanah, that Mizaynesov Shalodan Yitzubulay Mirosh Hashanah. Whatever I'm going to get, that's all set. And if I'm going to get it, means I can get it honestly too. And if I'm not going to get it, and even stealing isn't going to help me. Right? So therefore, if a guy steals, doesn't even try, he thinks, God's not giving it to me, I'm going to take it. That's okay. It means he can take what God doesn't want to give him. So it's not only money, I mean, not only stealing, it's any avera that has to do with money. It's the same thing, ribis, meiser, not to give meiser, what do you call the tumis, anything that has to do with money. Basically, those totally in the money. If you don't trust them, and that's what the Torah is trying to tell you. By putting one next to the other, it's to teach you these things. And a person has to be constantly on the lookout to see what the Torah is trying to teach you. Not, oh, you see, the Torah agrees with me, you know how to steal. No, that's not the issue here. The issue is to find out what the Torah is actually trying to teach you. The third one, when the Rebbe Shalom was accepted, and here you don't find the word kol echot, and you don't find the word yachdav. They said nasa v'nishma. As soon as the Rebbe Shalom refused this Kabbalah, they brought korbanos, and the Rebbe Shalom and the Moshe Rabbeinu spit the blood on everybody, and then they said kol hashadiba asher nasa v'nishma. What was the hisofet of the nishma? So basically, most people learn that it means we will listen, and then we will try to understand it. Right? Meaning that we are going in blindly to listen, then we with one leg can understand it too. So on that, if that's the case, kol hashadiba Hashem is a gresel madrega. I'm never interested in understand why. I'm willing to follow it up blindly. Right? So Shiva learned that means kol hashadiba Hashem nase v'nishma to our rebbeim how to do it. Now what's the big chiddush here? First of all, it's a bit of me. Since the commitment that they said before was, I'm only willing to accept what I understand. So we had to mevatel that point completely, and even when I have an opinion, I'm going to take my Rebbe's opinion over mine. Obviously, until I become big enough to argue with my Rebbe, because sometimes you do. Sometimes Talmud Chaver and so on, or sometimes you bishteig the Rebbe. But at least until that time, I mevatel my das to my Rebbe. In that case, we only have one Rebbe. If we have one Rebbe, we're doing the same Torah. We don't have to worry about 600,000 Torahs. It's all one Torah. And that's the Ikya that the Rebbe Yishu wanted, that commitment. But he gave us a big heter. Until now, we had no heter to ask a shayla. If I said I'm going to listen to do what the Rebbe Yishu told me to do, and I accept I don't know what the Rebbe Yishu told me to do, so go learn. Go figure it out yourself what the Rebbe Shalom told you to do. How are you going to ask somebody else? Maybe you heard under something else different than you would hear. So you can't ask anyone. But now that I'm allowed to ask, now that I'm supposed to move up my dust to my Rebbe, I can ask him what to do in the first place. So I have a right to ask a shayla. So it's a big game for us. At the same time, it's a tremendous commitment that we made that Rebbe Shalom. Now all of this was made because of him ha-kigigis, alem ha-kigigis. Which means that the Rebbeinu Shalom somehow forced the commitment out of him. And the Pashut Pshat, they held the mountain over there, and Kibaldim, Mistoivim, Flav Shanti, Kibuchaschem. I mean, that's one Pashut of what the Pashtus, the Gemara is saying. Shiva learned a more Pashut Pshat to understand where Purim comes in. When we lived in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was many nisim that were taking place for Chol Yom. And anybody saw the nisim, born of Beis HaMikdash, you saw the nisim, how the fire came up from the Mizbeach, no flies in there. Whatever the nisim I mentioned, Big Yovis, all of those nisim, and the first Beis HaMikdash was even greater than those nisim. You had Nevi'im around constantly, and they said something, and it became. I mean, we had no doubt that there was a Beis HaMikdash in the world. But we may be not wanting to listen to him. That's a different passage. But we understand that if we want to fight with him, we understand there's a punishment involved. Okay? We can accept that. But when we came into Golis, into Bavel, and all of a sudden all we saw was destruction of ideas, of the cloud, everything else, what keeps our spirits up? No one was in the Kabbal of Teva under those circumstances where I don't see the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. In that case, I also should be responsible for listening to the Teva. So there we can say, no, maybe not Mechuyev to. That was where it says, Kibbal Mashikim Utva, Kibbal Mashikim Utva, they were in the Kabbal of Teva again in Purim. Now what did they want Kabbal in Purim? They said, we see, if a person truly looks, he can see the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in his life. That's a fact. In other words, nothing happened openly as a nes in Purim. But if you look at it, and follow the Megillah, it's a lot of nisim in there, right? But these are nisim that happen all the time. So it says in the Gemara, Esther min haTorah minayim. How do you know the Esther's from haTorah? Hasta Esther ponay. Let's see the pasuk. The pasuk is the pasuk in Vayelech. And this is what it says. It says, you're going to make me miniatsuni, you're going to make me angry, the heifers brisi. So what am I going to do? I'm going to bring on your voice, rabbis vitzoris. And, okay, good, only in the territory. I'm sorry. So you're going to do tshuva, and you're going to say, hello, alki eno akai bikilbi. I don't have God among us. Alright, so therefore these all these sorrows happen to me. But noichi has to ask the panai b'ayomahu. I'm going to hide from you on that day. And the day you want to do tshuva, I'm going to hide from you. Why? If I care, because my wife wants to do tshuva, he's supposed to, come out and greet him. So no, if I do that, I'll be back to the same position again. Every time I come out, you see me, clearly, so what happens? As long as you see me, you believe me. All of a sudden, you don't see me and you don't believe me. No, you're going to have to go find me. It's your job to go find me. And when you find me, you'll never miss me again. You'll always know I'm there. And this is the haktomet to shazinu. Ba'ato, right? This is finished shazinu. Ashosei kipano lukim acherim. Ba'ato kisu lachem sashir azais. Why is this the haktomet to hazinu? What is Hazinu? Hazinu tells you that the Jews were good, right? They didn't listen, right? Vayishvan Yishurim Vayivot, right? So what does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam do? He brings around the Torah's rabbis. They get the Torah's, they do tshuva. So what does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam do when he do tshuva? He gives you bracha. When you get bracha, what do you do? Vayishvan Yishurim Vayivot again. And it's a round robin. Just keep going around the circle. What's the point? So if you follow this etzer, there's never a point of ever going down. You're always, if you have the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in your life, there is no problem of ever doing averus. You're doing a taiva, there's averus of taiva, I'm not going to say that. But that's it. But it's not a point that I'm a kofel of Hashem. I see Hashem in my life all the time. Now how do we get to see Hashem? Tell little kids, it goes for grown-ups too, it doesn't make a difference. Tell a kid, how many times in your life did you say, how am I going to tell this to my parents? They're going to kill me. I flunked. I got thrown out of class. You don't have to talk about grace zachen, right? I take a grown-up and someone that thing, I lost my job. And this other tzoras happened to me. And what am I going to tell my wife? What am I going to tell her things? And how am I going to have food for Shabbos? And all these things. And these are major problems. And they existed probably by everybody in the world has these problems. This problem don't make a difference. But we're all here. So we pass through those problems. How did those problems get solved? And you figure it out and you'll see that always something came up at the last minute. Or somehow everybody was in a good mood, so when I told over the story, nobody got upset. For whatever reason, there is but we left the problem, and it went easy. Or even something, you got a little patch, but not as much as you thought you were going to die. So obviously not as bad as you thought it would be. Who do you think was doing that for you? You're a lucky guy? Real lucky? That's not a mention. And you see, so then the ikir is obviously you got to start training yourself and how to constantly be aware of these things. So basically you have to start saying and learning to say gamzu utayv. The Gemara says that, and I'll explain this. The Gemara Bracha says a person has to train himself to say I'm called Yad Rachman the top of it. Mechuyev said I say one step before that you're supposed to say gamzu utayv. I'll explain the differences between the two. The Gemara in Brochus that brings a Maisu with Rabbi Akiva, that he came to a town and he wanted to get invited into, to spend the night. And he wasn't invited in anyway. So he had to sleep on the cold, hard ground. Right? I assume that soft bed's a lot better than a cold hard ground. Right? And he says Gamzu Gutei. He then had a donkey and gets eaten up by a big animal. Gamzu Gutei. He had a candle that he was going to learn by. The wind keeps blowing it out. Gamzu Gutei. I mean, Kol Yevlach Mon Litavavit. Kol Yevlach Mon Litavavit. His rooster, which is going to wake him up, Vatikin, also gets eaten up. So Kol Yevlach Mon Litavavit. Comes the next day to the town, and he finds that the whole town is wiped out. And he realizes if his donkey would have brayed, or the rooster would have crowed, or they would have seen his learning, the candle flickering, they would have killed him. Right? So Baruch Hashem, Kol Yevlach Mon Litavavit. But let's understand, he had to sleep on cold, hard ground. He lost his transportation. He didn't learn as well that night. He didn't get up for Vatikin that morning. Right? These are major inyonim to Rabbi Akiva anyway. They're major inyonim. So it was not a good night. But it's better than getting killed. Right? That's no shame. Now, if the Rabbi Shimon wanted to really be nice to Rabbi Akiva, what could have happened was in the town before he was, would have said, look, please stay over. We'll take you with a limo tomorrow. Meanwhile, we have a sandwich. We want you to be sandwich tonight by Bris, and it's by Big Yavir. You stay in his palace of the house, and then you have no shayla, right? It could have happened too, but it didn't. He had been. So, by bed, you say, called the Avid Vachamon the Tav of it. But there's another Gemara in Tainis, and that's the Gemara with Nochem Ish Gamzu. That Nochem Ish Gamzu was once sent at a shlichus with a box of jewels to bribe the Roman emperor to battle the Xero law against Klal Yisrael. The innkeeper steals the jewels from the box and substitutes sand. Nochem Ish Gamzu has no reason to be choshed even to check what's in the box. Normally a person is carrying $1,000 in his pocket, he makes touches every 2 minutes, you know. Right? That's why you're allowed to keep somebody's money, because you know, he keeps touching his pocket all the time, because he's Miyash right away. Right? He didn't even bother looking. No reason for anything to happen to anything that he has. They come to the Melech, right? And the Melech opened up the box, and he's going to get very upset. He sees sand. All of a sudden, Eliyahu HaNavi appears at the side of Nochem Ish Gamzu, and he says, this sand, and meanwhile, Nochem Ish Gamzu replies, when he sees the sand in the box, he says, Gamzu Lutayka. And all of a sudden, Eliyahu HaNavi pops up, and he says, you know, this sand is the sand that Avraham used against Gedolah Eimah. Becomes missiles, it becomes soldiers, it becomes tanks, whatever you want it to become, it becomes. Oh, that's the case, I'll try it on my next battle. He tries it next battle, kachabe. So now he takes this box and he refills it with the best gems Rome has as a gift. He's mevatel the gzeira, right? And he became a good friend of the Jews. Wouldn't, if you can have a box like that with sand like that, of course you can become friends with the Jews, right? Okay, so the Maise, if he would have been just given the box as he was supposed to, what would have happened? The Jews would have lost all the jewels. Would the Melech have canceled the Xerah or not? Like any bribe, it's a gamble. Right? Maybe yes, maybe no. Right? You don't give a bribe on the tonight, right? You gotta give it to him, and then you hope for the best that he's gonna do it, right? This way, the Jews got jewels, they got the Xerah of Badi, and they got a good friend. That's Gamzu Lutayka. Our time, this was a very important lesson. Person loses his job. That's probably about the best case scenario which will fit both in Yonim. The first thing you should do is Gamzu Lutayka. And I'm sure everybody here knows of at least some story, whether they knew it personally or they heard it from somebody, it doesn't make a difference, but someone that the other one actually knows. Not like, you know, my bubba's cousin's neighbor's tante somehow. You know, someone knows that lost the job and either had to go out on his own and Baruch Hashem became very successful, or that actually someone else hired him who would not touch him as long as he was an employee of somebody else for a higher salary than he was making with the other guy. And this nice mechogim. On the other hand, we also know the people that didn't make it. That it's a year later, and they still don't have a job. Right? So the person, until he's affected personally, meaning until he doesn't have food on the table, right, at that time you should say, Gamzu l'toivu. This is good. Why? This is probably the first vacation I had in 20 years, because I'm a workaholic. Now I can go to the Beis Medrash and learn for a couple of weeks. It doesn't affect me. I still have enough money in the bank. So Gamzu l'toivu. And then, Baruch Hashem, when it's getting tight, all of a sudden, gets the Yeshua, and he has nothing. That doesn't happen, he says, Kol Yav Rachman on top of it. Whatever it is, takes away Zeres Ways, Kamayla Mabo, whatever it is, many things that it does. So therefore, that's the attitude the person is supposed to have. Now, basically what we said, if you live this way, you're going to become a Baal B'tochen, ultimately. Because everything that you say every day, or you know, something good happens to you, or even something bad happens to you, right? The thing there, it's Gamzu l'toivu. Just keep saying that, and it means God is always with you. You're always thinking about His place in whatever happened. You become a maimon, which is a real maimon, but you also become a Baal B'tochen. The difference is, I'm giving you a balabatashib shat. I don't mean this is an insult in any way. I say the only thing is because there's some kashas on it. And you can say, oh, you know, it's not a real good dimin, but it gives you a good, it hits the point very good. You have two friends. One friend is a tightrope walker, and the other one is his manager. Right? And the manager is the one that keeps pushing him to go to higher and higher heights. You know, so he can make more money, be a bigger show. Let's say he's up to the 1,000-foot mark. And the guy said, do you think I can do it? And the guy said, what's the shit we've been doing? Look what you've been doing before. What's the difference if you're 1,000 feet up in the air and 900 feet up in the air? It's the same thing. You're walking across the straight line. He says, okay. And he says, yeah, he has a moon in him, right? He says, you want to come on my shoulders? That's betochen. Okay. And the guy's ready to go on the guy's shoulders. Then we know he has betochen. Until then, it's only a moon. And it's not factual. There's no shaykhs. If you want to see betochen in reality, watch a younger Bible. You can watch a new father the same way. It doesn't make a difference how he holds his kid. I mean, everybody's afraid that the kid is going to drop the kid, right? But the kid shloft ganz ruhig. No problems. I was watching, sometimes watch a mother, and this one I always get amazed by, but it's every day, if you have a woman that has like three little kids, you know, one, two, three. So she's counting one, she's carrying one in her arm like this, with the finger, the head's this way, and feet are that way. One little kid's pulling on a dress, and the other one she's holding her hand. And the kid that's being held like this, which is a very awkward way to hold, right? And she's like, numbing with other things, the kid's sucking her thumb and looking around the world and seeing what, how nice the world is. No worries at all that her mother's going to, her mother's going to drop her. That's betochen. There's things that don't look secure, but we're secure. Bnei Shalom didn't drop us. He doesn't drop us. We're in his hands. That's the ikkar that we have to reach that madrega. The ultimate emunah that we have, and it's going to be engaged in the next point, is Zun Chikun. The ultimate emunah is to be a act like an atomic spy. What do I mean, atomic spy? A lot of you here remember the Cold War. And see, not everybody, but it was a Cold War once upon a time. That Cold War means that everybody was stealing the other one's secrets and how to build bigger atom bombs and, you know, whatever it is. And that kept the world quiet, meanwhile. So, let's say the Russians needed to find out what's happening in the American bomb factory, right? Before the shredders, okay? Comes along, you can't apply for a job in the factory by saying, you know, I got my degrees from the University of Moscow and so on, I'd like a job by you. Okay, of course, you understand that he's a spy. So what does he have to do? He has to become a garbage man collector. He has to go and clean the offices at night and check all the garbage bags to see maybe there's something that's in there that he can understand, because he has to be such a big genius that he can understand from garbage, you know, what someone threw out, that that's what he was working on, how he's planning in Abu Halta. That's his arbit to do that. He can't know too much about what the end result of his arbit is going to be, because he can't even know more than himself, because if they ever catch him, and he would give over the secrets that his own country has. So he can't know everything. He has to be mamish kept in the dark. He obviously can't live on a salary that they're really paying him in Russia, and he had a house and these things, because if he did that, they all know he's not making his money from being a garbage cleaner. So he has to live as another man in a very rundown place, and then live, you know, cheaply. And this guy who has the Gresta covered where he comes from, here he's living as another man. But why is he doing all this? He says, there'll come the day and the invasion when you see Russia become supreme, at that time you'll see the part I played in. All of us are part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We don't know what our plans for us are. But he definitely has plans that every one of us plays a big part in. We can't see it now because we don't know what he wants. But ultimately, when it's Nisgalit, we will know the role that we played in it. That's the way we're supposed to live our lives. That way we can accept anything that can ever happen to us. Now I'm going to explain to you, understanding this point that I just brought out, I'm going to bring you a pasuk now from Parashat Dvarim and Rashi to understand why there's an Issa Sinas Chinam and what it means. You know, I went through many programs when they talk about Sinas Chinam, to combat it, we have to, like, Avas Chinam and so on. But the truth is, you ever ask me, and ask me, you know, do you hate anybody for nothing? I'll tell you, not one person. I hate everybody for a reason. Right? I have a reason. Right? Nobody I hate for nothing. Right? So what do you mean, Sinas Chinam? Okay. Here's the Rashi. First of all, it says like this. In the beginning of Dvarim, right between it, right after Shemini, it says, I'm going to try, you know, get the Bezd, you know, people to join the Bezdins and the Sanhedrin. So he's giving him now, what are their restrictions? Loisakiru ponim b'mishpat. Kakotin kakodu tishmon. Loisoguru mitmayush. Ki ha-mishpat lelokim. So I would think, normal teaching is possible without Rashi. I would say, you know what? I can't show favoritism. Right? I have to waste my time for a little thing as much as I would for a big thing. In other words, no such thing as petty larceny. That will decide, oh, petty larceny, that's not so much. You can forget about it, right? We down even a penny, as much as $1 million. And leisagul mipneish, don't be afraid of anybody. Tell it the way it is, right? I think that, right? So this is real tough stuff. Why do I have to do that? Because I'm Mishpat Lokim. You know, Mishpat belongs up there. It's so holy. It's so important. You can't play around with it. That's where I would touch the puss. Comes along Rashi. And he says, what's the pshat of Ki Mishpat Lokim? Masha'ata Meikel Mizeh Shuleikidin Ata Mizdaki Kuhazilat Nimtzi Shenichalaya HaMishpat. When you take something from one person, Shalaikidin, you're forcing me to return to that person his money, and therefore you threw the case on me for me to do the deal. Normally, if I knew that to be the taich, I would say, Pung Fakel. You know, now why should I have to fight with anybody? Why shouldn't I show? What difference does it make? God's going to take care of it anyway. Right? I'm never going to do anything wrong. Right? But obviously, we have to tell what the emphasis is. But Rashi says, this is a patch. According to this Rashi, what it means to say is that you can never take away from anybody something that he's not supposed to lose. So because if you took away from him Shalaikidin, you're forcing me to pay him back. That means I can't take it. You can't take it away from me. If that's the case, now think about any time somebody hurts you. If someone stole money from me, right? That's why I'm angry at him. I hate him. Right? Let's say he tried to steal money from me and he got caught. Right? Or he tripped and he couldn't get in the house. We caught him there. Would you be angry at him? or you would laugh at him. The guy's ineffective. What's it bother me? You know, one of the intentions of Baruch Mordechai and over Haman is Haman is in such a low level degree, but Baruch Mordechai, we're so high, Haman can't harm us. So when we walk in the street and all those guys, we see all the hatred that comes there, but they can't touch it. They're ineffective. They can't do anything. The Mamishta eats them up. I'd laugh at it. Right? I wouldn't be upset. So why are you upset? Because you got hurt. Right? But you got hurt because the Mamishta wanted you to get hurt. It has nothing to do with him. Even if he would not have done it, you would have gotten hurt. Because that's the Rebbeinu Shem that was done on you that you should get hurt now. So what would have happened? Something would have broken to your window. A storm. You would have, threw a glass of water in your face. Right? Let's say he would refuse to do it and stuff. He would have tripped and fell into a puddle of water. And everybody would have laughed at you just as much. Right? So the Bezoyin, what happened to you, is irrelevant to what the other person's kavana was. And for the other person's kavana, you wouldn't have been angry alone. So it's only because the kavana happened is what makes you angry. And that's God did to you, not the person. And the biggest raya that this is the emes, is the Gemara Pesachim, Kufiyat Gimel on the Beis, talks about over there, the Gemara has a kashi. It says, assistance of Chichibul Bavecha, right? So he says, how's that possible? How can you ever hate anybody? Right? Says, you're not allowed to hate. So obviously a person can't hate. So how do you just say it often? You see, Soynacha Revitz Bader. How can you say such a thing? So he says, it's talking about where you saw him do a Maisa Elva by yourself. So you can't say Avis against him because you need to. Right? But you know the truth. So you have a right in your heart to hate him. Right, because he was able on my session. That's why, not because he did anything to you, but because he did not have it. Okay. And you can tell my Rebbe if he's not like a betray. Tesis says Akashi. He said, if that's the only hatred that's permissible, so what's the Gemara Baba Kami? Have a shaila. If you see a guy, you see a Simon that needs to ina. And an oyheg that needs prike. Normally, when an animal is carrying something, prike is before helping a guy load the animal. Why? Because prike means the animal is suffering, it's falling down. You have to unload it. That's tzar balachayim. Tzar balachayim is the reise. So I'm a chuyif to go help that behemoth before the other one. But if the one that needs help to unload is an oyheg, and the one that needs help to load is a soyne, I'm a chayiv to help the one to load, the signet to conquer your midas of hate. In other words, that you should break your midas of hate. This is the kashya. Since according to this Gemara, there is no such thing as hating anybody, so what is it talking about? So it says it's talking about because when you hate somebody, even kiddin, the person you hate sees that you hate him, so therefore he hates you back. When he hates you back, so you add a little bit more hate when you hate him again. So therefore, it becomes your enemy. It's not anymore the enemy of Hashem. That's the only enemy. I got plenty of enemies. This guy insulted me. This guy did this and that. And the Gemara doesn't give this case. It's because there is no such case. So I don't have to worry how to be misakin sinas chinam. I have to work on my emunah to figure out that there is nothing to hate anybody about. Because he didn't do anything to me. God did that to me, not me. Shaila, you may have to ask me mechila. That's a different point. You have to ask me mechila. That you'll ask me in episode, you say Shifte Ko and Yosef and stuff like that. They talk you had a time and it's brought down Taki. They said, why should Yosef hate us? We did him the biggest favor. We made him the Melech of Mitzrayim. Right? So they didn't want a Chayshu that he hated. So they lived together for 17 years. And therefore, the only thing the Rabbeinu Bechai says that when he came back from burying Yaakov, and that's why the Shvatim came over to him and said, you know, God, your father was Mitzavas, to tell you that we're sorry and all this thing, is because they saw that he went to the Kiva, as he said, he went to the Bur, which meant he went north. Don't forget, he was Mitzvah from Pari to come right back. He had to come, but Hebron is south of Shechem. The Bur was in Shechem. See, and he went north to Shechem to make the bracha on Minisei from the Bur. So he sees that he's still bothering him, that Indian. That's what he went to ask him. And it says, why wasn't he Meichel? And why wasn't the Meis in this whole Machlekes, the Aseres HaShvatim and everything else that happened? He says the reason is because he never was, because he never was Meichel then. They said, forget it and think about it sometimes. You know, a guy did you an avil and he asked you Mechila. Right? He said, forget about it. It's okay, don't worry about it, right? Say I'm Meichel you. You can't say it. You can't say the word Michael, because Michael means I'm taking away as it never happened. I can't say that, because it happened. So what am I saying? I can forget about it. We can live weiter, but that part, you hurt me. That remains. That's it. So that's what they didn't ask Mechila for. But as far as getting along and stuff like that and say there's a sinner, there was no sinner anymore. He didn't hate them, just you didn't ask me Mechila. You were supposed to ask me Mechila, you didn't ask me Mechila. I have resentment to you. And that resentment kept them, whatever had to happen in the future. That's the Pshat of Sinas Chinam. And that's something that we can actually understand and grow to. The Rabbein Shalom does the same either. It says in the Slichas of Elul, that we say, before Rosh Hashanah, Yisrael Shemei Tshuva, is we will be by Yom Mehim Beisahi, Yivukish is about Yehuda by Nenuvis, Hatos Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Waisim to Enna, Ki Eslach Lashe Asher. You're going to look for all the Averis, and you're not going to find it, because I forgave them. So Shiva Zatzal asked, he says, if God forgave the Averis, so why, if he said that the Achis Hayom, and we can all become Tzadikim, and that's why you won't find the Averis in Yisrael and Yehuda, fine, I understand. Very nice. But if you tell me because God forgave him, so forgive us now, we have no, why do you have to wait for after Sayyam? Yeah? So he said, the time is because right now, the Midas Adin has a taina. You don't see the end of the Tachlis of the Rabbein Ishmael's creation. You don't see the end of it. So a person didn't have it, so he made a hole in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this person is now asking, he doesn't want to be punished. So the Midas Adin says, why shouldn't you, why can you forgive him? Look, he made a hole in your bria. So he has to punish him. The Achis Hayomim, when we see that was Niskayim, everything, the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he wanted it to be Niskayim. So then at that point, there is nothing that this guy did. He only wanted to do. And the banishment can be merchel at that point. And that's the point of that eventually. That's the point that we have to learn from this. When we say this, we're coming into Purim. Purim is the day of Avos Yisrael, really, that there's an Indian of being, what do you call it, an Amechod, Avos Yisrael, to try and do the best we can one for the other. And there's even more than that, you know. I've heard, I have never saw it, so I really don't believe it, but I heard, because obviously maybe they're testing me to see what my reaction would be. You know, there are people that say, I don't eat from anybody's shalach manis. I don't trust anybody. Sounds like a meredike madrege, right? Something, right? I don't trust anybody. So I went away. You know, we know about the dirh of Esther and Mordechai. They ate by the Suddes HaShverosh, right? They weren't the greatest guys. You know, we can't embrace that abyssal, right? And the Rebbein Shalom said, and they made a takona, they could have made a takona send flowers. Why did they say shalach manis? Right? They didn't say kelim wine send, packaged wine. The wine you made. Right? The roast beef you made. That's what we want you to send. Right? And you're supposed to eat it. Why? Because that brings Avos Yisrael. Rashi brings down and says, why is there a din Reidech and Bisurim? Because if not, we wouldn't eat by our friends. We couldn't eat by our friends. You need to wait. Are you ever going to have to wait for anything? So therefore, you have to be Dimrenem, because you couldn't eat by a friend. And what if we don't eat by our friends? We don't have the whole concept of Avos Yisrael. The Indian of Mesis Madiach and Hasosav Adoche Be'achilah Shisim, it has to be done eating and drinking. All the big business deals are done over dinner, over a cocktail party, a drink in the hand. Why? Because these things put you in a good mood, and when you're in good mood, you do handle one with the other. Mechuyev to be, the Avos Yisrael comes through good moods, and that's how you can have an effect on people. The toiv, not only l'ra. Adosos v'adoch is l'ra, but it's also the toiv. And that's the reason why we have a din of shalach monas, the dafki shalach monas, and not flowers. And the mezeich is ein takid, the emes Avos Yisrael, that takid will never have any sheikhs by anybody in the union of sinas chinam, and that's why there's no het, that's why there's no, you're not allowed to have nekomet, nepirit. Why? Because all of them come from what he did to me, and he didn't do anything to you.
We thank everyone for coming to tonight's share, especially the Rosh Hashiva Shlita. Tonight's share sponsor is Zecha Nishmas of Moshe Ben of Yehuda. Now.